So good afternoon, everybody. This is on studies on BMPs in shrimp farming in Ciba, so the strategies and the role of Ciba in scaling up and scaling out. Just as an introduction to international participants, Central Institute of Brackish Water Aquaculture is one of the 8 fisheries institutes under Indian Council of Agricultural Research. Under that fisheries division is headed by Dr. Meena Kumari, our DDG Fisheries, who is chairing the session. And we are mandated to work on, especially on the development of technologies for brackish water aquaculture. This study group, which is by Muralidharan, Ravichandran, Muralidhar, Kumaran, Gopal, they are the ones who are working on the BMPs in this institute on shrimp BMPs. Now, this is the outline of the presentation. It's just a historical background, how we were involved and what are the areas we were involved in BMPs. Then the definition and role of BMPs, refining of BMPs, what we thought about it, and then what are the research work taken up and what resulted out of it, and biosecurity requirements, researchable issues in BMPs, issues in BMPs itself as per se in BMPs, then in issues in cluster-based management of BMPs, then what is the role of Ciba in scaling up, which is the major important what we are discussing in this workshop. Now, historical background, if you see, codes of conduct and guidelines, you know, are the forerunner of all the GMPs and BMPs. It was being discussed for quite some time. 1995, like earlier I told, in 1995 itself, a guidelines for sustainable development and management of brackish water aquaculture was issued, which was technical backstopping was provided by Ciba. If you see, that's why I was telling these, whatever guidelines we are talking about now as BMP, which evolved after 2001-2, most of it finds a place there. So that is one of the things we can, when we are talking about pond preparation, when we are talking about feed management, health management, what is this stocking and all, everything is finds a place. And especially even there are some mandatory requirements like no use of drugs and other things, even finds a place in 1995 guidelines. Then coming to 1999, actually authority as a aquaculture authority, our director will be talking about that, the director authority is here. They had adopted improved technology for production, guidelines was issued. And then again, it was under, with Ciba is providing backstopping, technical backstopping for most of the government agencies, including CAA, NFDB and others. So we were involved in that totally. And then it came to, we had a project on World Bank, NACA Ciba project under the consortium of shrimp and environment. We had a case studies on Indian, the role of small farmer groups and associations in sustainable shrimp aquaculture management. We had consultants like Professor Kuti and then Mike Phillips. This group, what the studies were in the located, 4 different areas were chosen because at that point of time, World Bank project was initiated in the country where 4 sites were chosen in West Bengal, 2 in Orissa and 1 in Andhra Pradesh, where World Bank project funding was there. There, the similar cluster farming mechanisms were involved, a total, and then actually what happened is those things were utter failure. That was a good beneficiaries were selected based on a proper mode, 100 farmers in each group, 100 hectares was distributed to them, total common facilities was provided, there was an internal control system in place, each farmer was given a bank account, the money was paid into that, they were getting subsistence allowance, all these things were there. But this system failed utterly. Now then, this is the project where we examined why it has gone bad. The 2 of the World Bank sites was taken and other project sites like ERRP programs, very small scale programs in Orissa was existing. Where half a acre ponds, small ponds were made and then given to small farmers, real poor farmers. And that system was working all right. Where they were doing mostly extensive productions, where they were going in for very low production of 500, 600 kilograms. So this study, this again, the methodology was questionnaire survey and then what was the outcome of the project. This gave an insight and this formed the forerunner even for our NACA MPDA program, which we discussed extensively with Mike Phillips before that program was initiated. This is the social economic profile of the communities involved in the small scale. Issues to be addressed in sustainable shrimp aquaculture. The major reason for failure of those 2 World Bank assisted program in the cluster farming system is mainly there was a political intervention in beneficiary selections. Mostly it was all distributed, like, you know, freebies were distributed. There was so much of political angle was there, a village angle was there. A non-fisherman or non-shrimp farmer has taken up the facilities. They just took it and then they just let it in a sublease, and all sorts of things were happening. So that is one of the things. And in this program, it was one of the things which we did, and at that time itself, there was some work here which was also documented there. This was on the case studies of sustainable shrimp farming through informal farmer groups in Tamil Nadu. This is was one of the major important interests at that time, Thambikottai, Vadagadi area in Pattukottai. It was a very successful farming. Even now, today, it is going on very, very successfully. Now, this is mainly because it is a membership is compulsory. There is a strong leadership. It's based on either community or political leadership is there. And all strict rules on farming practices, including starting intake, output, when it has to be released, when it has to be harvested, what has to be stocked. Everything is controlled. And then even if a disease affects a farmer, depending on the size of the shrimps, it has to be killed in the farms in situ, then even compensations were paid. Even charges or costs involved for chlorination has been paid by this association. So this association was a very successful model. Now what we are, later what we came is we are going in for voluntary models and voluntary adoptions. But then there was an expert group was constituted for the development of good management practices, again with the chairman. This was under, we had a number of participants, SIBA, MPDA, SAP, hatchery operators, farmers. Then a guideline was prepared. That guidelines actually went into the Coastal Aquaculture Authority Act. There is a guidelines for shrimp production where you will see buffer zones and then what is the distance you have to maintain from this. All these things, environment, because authority was given the mandate for managing environment protection. This is one of the things which was given more importance there. And it is very difficult to implement these guidelines because though they were guidelines, some of them have to be made mandatory and then insisted upon. Now this is what I was always talking about. This is not now we are always worried that this is a thing which we, yes, farmers, if you tell them it is profit for them, he will adopt. Even if you don't tell them, if he finds that it is profitable to him, he will do it. You need not go, you need not have an extension mechanism to tell him that it is profitable for him. He will do it. This is what is happening. Suppose these items, when we say, yes, improve shrimp health and profitable farming, BMPs are that, we should do it. But then actually, if you see the definitions and the literature, a review on BMPs, the BMPs came into force only for this environment protection, improved food safety and socioeconomic sustainability. We are talking about these are the areas where market forces also insist on. Market forces is not bothered whether you have or shrimp is having a viral disease or not. Market force is not bothered how you are growing them. But they are interested to know that it is grown in a very environmentally safe way. It is having a food safety as per the standards prescribed by them. So these are the important aspects which we have to bring into the BMP set. If you are not going to do it and we are only talking about this, yes, this is easy for people to adopt. Now we say even without society or with society, people are adopting most of these things. Even if it is a costlier biosecurity measures, when we are talking about, people are adopting, you know, we'll go in. So what in SIBA's role we thought was we have to take up, this was one of the projects where Dr. Mohan, we had started at that point of time, we were discussing about how to go about going into refining the BMPs, where you have to refine, you have to have a location-specific BMPs, because BMPs are too generic, whatever we are having. We don't know how much soil should be removed and what things like that. That there was no information on that. But then when we went into this, we started a classification of the different areas and then how are the pattern, different pattern of implementation, and then what is the social and temporal samplings of soil and water to maintain, whether to see whatever we are expecting because of a BMP, whether it happens or not. Then finally, we have to refine the BMPs and come to that. But what happened actually when we went into the field, and thanks to Naksa and Dr. Ramesh, when he was there, we had a lot of collaborative work with them. Then we took up, and then whatever we did, whether it is a demo, we call demo, non-demo is society and non-society ponds, and there is not much of a difference we could find. We find that they are supposing this is demo ponds on whether with the BMP or without BMP, much of a difference was not found. Even when we are going to adoption level, if you see, pond drying, it's control also, even our society or non-society, it's all 100%. Excepting in some areas, maybe during, say, summer crop, they don't follow certain things. But mostly it is 100% adoption, irrespective of whether it is a society or non-society. So this led to some problems. Then we wanted to test that, okay, we will go for, see the water quality and soil quality, what's the difference it's there. Whether what we expect that, okay, stress level will go down or ammonia level will go down if you remove the, scrape the soil, you remove that. But then what we find, not much difference between cluster and independent farmers ponds for overall water and soil quality. So it shows that there is nothing much difference. What we were actually expecting means this is where the proof of concept, like yesterday was telling, we were thought, okay, we tell that by removing the sludge, we are going to reduce the stress. Is there any real change in water quality and soil quality because somebody does it, somebody doesn't do it? We find that in water and soil quality, there was not much difference. When you go into the production, survival, everything, not much difference. Then comes this biosecurity and prevention of horizontal transmission. So this is one of the things which, you know, our BMPs, in the earlier BMPs, have never addressed biosecurity in their major things. What we found that the major reason for disease, if you want to prevent disease, the only reason how it is spreading, and a lot of studies, case studies were made, some of them in society farms and independent farmers. And we find the major one is water. When there are such a cluster forms, through water, the distribution are... when the first disease strikes here and then it moves, within short time, it is continuously, it is moving around. These two farmers initially, they were not part of society. Because they have brought in seed, maybe from different hatcheries, maybe positive seeds, or maybe it's not good. We don't have the data. These are all after the, these are all based on questionnaire data. It's not monitoring. We have not monitored. We have... afterwards, we have followed which are the farmers who had disease and what are the disease, when it came and all those things. The same way, even up to 3 kilometers, all the ponds were affected within a very short period, 10 days, when water is through the water, it is getting it. Then we come to certain areas, it was mainly through birds, where forest areas were there, where it was. And this disease spread through birds within 5 days. And there are farms which had bird netting like this, completely covering the ponds. They didn't get the disease. Now, these are the things, you know, like BMPs are to be dynamic. So some organization, whatever is working on that, they have to modify, put in new things. Now, when you come to the biosecurity, then there is a very important thing comes for cluster management. Now, biosecurity insists that water, if it passes through water, the only way it can be done is completely removal of all the vectors, filtration, then retaining the water at least for a week, because these white spot viruses can survive in water without any host for 4 to 5 days. So the water has to be aged before use. First remove the vectors, then you disinfect the water, then you use. There is a provision. There is a prevention of the disease. Now, in a cluster farming, where there are number of farms are involved, we have to have a common reservoir or a common treated water. How this will be done? So these are the things which research need to go in. If at all we have to do it, then we are talking about environment protection. Anyway, let me go. So this is the biosecurity PMPs in different areas. No reservoir, it's very low. Crab fencing, it's not there in much of the farms. Fencing protection, it's not there. Washing of it. Now, because of this, our study, even for our risk analysis study for Venami, when SIBA did, we came out with that biosecurity should be made compulsory for Venami farming. Because people are not following. If they don't follow, there is no use of bringing in SPF and doing culture. They have to follow a high level biosecurity if you have to prevent white spot virus occurrence. So this is again another study area where 50 samples were there. Now then again we went into that, okay, chlorination, whether in reservoir ponds, how effective it is. If you have to do that, when you are going to include it as a BMP, like biosecurity having a reservoir, then we should come out. There again, there is a wide variations is found. But there are, with reservoirs, there is one thing is very clear when you are doing it, especially total bacterial count was very low all through the culture, where you are using reservoir and disinfection, which is one of the ways we know that we can prevent any disease problem for the shrimps. Now, researchable issues, BMPs are too generic and need to take into consideration the following. The site-specific variations in soil and water quality. So, when we say this is the BMP, only we are only telling something which is very general. We cannot say that, okay, if you do this, this will happen, because it is too general. You don't say, you remove the sludge. You don't say 5 centimeter, 10 centimeter, 20 centimeter. A person removes 5, 2 centimeter, somebody removes 15 centimeter, which is good. As much as money you have, you do it. But then, that is not scientific way of telling them that you have to do this. So, some sort of refining or defining why something has to be done and how much it should be done. Means now what I mean is, suppose I am telling, if your soil organic carbon is so much, you remove so much of soil or scrape so much. If some sort of a scientific background is required, means research is required into that. System specific variations, because there are a lot of variations in this. Whatever we do, especially in a country like India, there's so much variations, we can never come out with a generalized, this is your BMP, you do it. We can never do. Because here people are doing from 0 ppt to 60 ppt. Monodon is cultured in 60 ppt in Tamil Nadu. Most of the areas where during summer these creeks or mouth is blocked, no water comes in, people even culture for 50 to 60 ppt. So this is so wide, so variant. And where do we talk about BMPs in a common way? So that is one of the things we have to come out with, system specific. We have tide fed, pump fed, rain fed, traditional. There are whole areas are totally dependent on subsoil water. Though it is banned, they cannot use borehole water. They don't get disease in some areas where they use borehole water. But environmentally, are they safe? Whether it should be allowed? You cannot allow that. If you are talking about environment safety. So these are the things which need to be thought about in a researchable issues. Yes, as a BMP we can talk, okay, to bring in farmers in a cluster to do something, whatever work has been done, really we have been working with NACSA for quite some time, the young brigade in NACSA, really they do a lot of field work, and they are the only extension wing which is now direct contact with the farmers. Whatever state fisheries, I am sorry to say that said fisheries departments do not have that type of contact with the farmers. So at least in these 4 states, they have a very good work going on. But then we have to be, we should not cheat farmers, telling them, you do this, this will become all right. But because we are not convinced. We are not convinced ourselves. If you do this, you can stop something. Then comes the required at all levels of shrimp farming operation, from collection of broodstock to processing, marketing, as I told you, including policy level. And the BMPs are dynamic. Biosecurity protocols have become a major requirement. Disease-free culture, which was not originally included. Pond preparation methods need to be standardized in relation to soil and water quality criteria. Monitoring the efficiency of BMPs and addressing the issues for whichever they were advocated. This is what, like yesterday, what we are discussing, like proof of concept. If you say this particular BMP does this, then we have to have data to prove that it does. At least under a set of conditions, a BMP is done for a particular purpose. What we say it will do, it should do. Then, evaluation of the efficient shrimp farm waste treatment system and development of cost-effective methods. Because most of the certifying agencies, they have either effluent water quality as one of the things, or effluent water treatment systems as one of the requirement for that. Now, when you are going in for certification, for cluster farming, whatever way we do, we have to have some sort of a combined effluent treatment system or shrimp farm wastewater system ready in position, or a method of in situ removal of waste using bacterial or probiotics and things like that. That need to be done. So this I am talking about the researchable issues. So, and then development of BMPs for the entire supply chain. Now, in BMPs and their adoption, what are the issues? So what we have seen. See, profit, we are discussing, so I did not go into the detail, most of it is already we have discussed. The profit is the ultimate aim for adoption of any farm management practice by the farmers. since BMPs are voluntary, farmers adopt practices which are of immediate benefit to them. In within the society, same society, some are not following, some are following, and within the whole cluster, a creek-based cluster, societies are different and there are people, non-society farmers. BMPs related to improved production and disease prevention is adopted by most of the farmers depending on the availability of land and capital investment. This land means when you are having a reservoir and wastewater treatment. No, wastewater treatment nobody follows. At least a reservoir, depending on their availability of land and investment, people follow. BMPs related to environmental safety and food safety are not being adopted since it does not have any immediate benefit to the farmers. It is clear-cut known, unless now say Venamai we have made wastewater treatment as a compulsory thing, it is being done. Whether it is effectively being done or not, we are now studying. It is being, people show that there is ETS is available, so we give them permission. And whether it is really effectively working, it is being studied now. There are some BMPs which are to be made mandatory, because if you are to do it, then only if it is possible, that's why requirements come in. Once you become, it becomes mandatory, it is not a BMP then. If you say it's a better management practices are voluntary, then mandatory practices becomes a regulatory affair. So enforcement of such practice is one of the most difficult terms for agencies involved. We have already problems. Supposing even registration, it's getting so much delayed in a country where you have asked. Even minimum thing required is ownership rights, which itself is being questioned in most of the cases. So we are not able to get that total registration. It's going on, but then it's still very slow compared to from 97 to now. So in shrimp farmers' attitude towards environment safety and food safety issues. This is one thing which we are doing, this attitude, still our farmers do lack. They don't understand that if they make mistake, it is the ones, they are the ones who are going to suffer. Because we have been studying and we have now come out with a carrying capacity software for identifying, we can say this particular area, how much farms can be sustained in a particular creek. This is for policy decisions. But then it is very difficult to implement that. You tell that, no, you cannot have a farm here. New farms, maybe we can do that. But existing farms, we have no way of stopping it, even because existing farms, even Coastal Aquaculture Authority permits even if they are within the 200 meter line. In cluster-based management, what are the issues? Now, this is like what we were talking about, complete membership, economic deliverability through continued success, compulsory technical consultancy, community linked to social cohesiveness, conviction of the group action is indispensable, accountability. These are all the things which you see in the farms which I was telling about, Pattukote and Tiruvarur mode. And I think now they are also part of the society here. It's already existing a strong association. I think it's also part of the society in some of the areas. And then, overcrowding farms is one of the main issues, as they need to be common reservoir and wastewater treatment system is generally not fulfilled. This we have to address somehow. Now, for Venamai culture, people have come in a group and asked for permission, showing a common reservoir and common ETS. Again, the how much they are being... it is being evaluated now. Not all the farms in the cluster follow the BMPs and biosecurity protocols strictly, and failure of one farm may affect the farm seriously. The need for informal and formal groups not clearly shown. Now, this is why, what it means here, a farmer, suppose you ask him, you become a member, and then you tell him, what for I should become a member? What I will get? And he will say, no, you can get, do the BMPs. No, that I am doing now itself. Why do you want to become a member? I don't want to become a member. No, you will, if you tell him, okay, you will get credit, you will get insurance, you will get a higher price, then he wants. If he cannot give any of these things, if you now tell that only diseases will not be there, he is not interested. If you say, environment safety, I will give you because of this, he is not interested. So, these are the parameters which we should bring in. Now, that's why we are telling market force how to link this cluster with the market. If you can tell them, if you can go in for certification is one of the best ways it could be done. But how it could be done? Because BMPs are not standards like this. BMPs are not standards. So certification for cluster-based BMP adoption is not possible. So you have to go for some other private certification process. Certification should be for some other specific standards, and it is as per the requirement of certifying agency you have to decide. And most of the certifying agencies now, if you say either GIA or ACC, It's all an effluent treatment systems and things like that are very much compulsory, which we have to think about now. If at all we are talking about society formation, let us now tell them to have a common reservoir and common effluent treatment. Start from the beginning. Ask them, give them money. We tell that we should give subsidies. We have even sent a proposal for common effluent treatment systems to NFDV to give subsidies. Because these are the things which has to be done if you want really thinking about environment safety and other issues, which will come within another 1 or 2 years in the export market, which will going to insist that without this, we will not buy your produce. If that comes, then we have to prepare for that. SIBA's role, refining of BMPs for site and system-specific conditions, we are continuing our research on that. Capacity building and creation of awareness among the different stakeholders, which we could take up the funding support, as usual, from NFDB and others. We are doing it. Policy-level facilitation of integration of aquaculture in ICM. This is one of the things which is very much required because most of the registration is failure here in the country because the ownership rights are not having. People are not having. Because it may be a government land which is people have taken illegally. They are not able to get lease for that. They are not living that land. And all those sorts of things are there. So, and the worry is aquaculture has not finding a place in the integrated coastal zone management plans of the country. It has to come in. Then only we will say aquaculture is being done legally in the country, especially coastal thing. Yes, sir. Thank you.